The connection between Micah and what we hear in the gospel is eerie, in a sense, the prophecy of we hear of God through Micah and how it's fulfilled in Christ and what we're hearing in the gospel story. It's incredible, and it just reaffirms and establishes and strengthens our faith that this God has had a plan. The last line from Micah, though, it's challenging and put a real challenge in my own heart. He is peace. So that's what this Redeemer, this promised one, is going to be. He's going to be, you know, all the titles that we have for Christ, right? Prince of Peace, King of Peace, Pax Christi, the peace of Christ. And so this season we sing about peace and joy. Yet our experience on so many levels is the opposite of peace. Internationally, you think, you know, the terror and all the division that's going on. And nationally, even, you know, among our leadership, how much hostility there is within our government and our organizations. And locally, you read the paper, and there's always just a list of, you know, things that do not speak to peace whatsoever. Violence and compromising of people's dignity. I was in the Dillon's yesterday at Central and Rock, and I was coming in through that revolving door, and there was the gentleman, 70 plus, was kind of came almost sprinting around. He was in a hurry, right? I don't know what it is. You know, my mom and dad said when they retire, they're going to slow down. It seemed like the older they get, the faster they go. So he's running, and he's focused. And so the other guy who's 70 plus comes the other direction. They kind of run in each other. And then it's, you know, I was kind of almost right there in the middle of it. And so I was like, you know, usually you're like, okay, oh, excuse me. Well, they started getting violent towards one another, right? And communicating obscenities. I'm thinking to myself, how can this be? You know, you're supposed to have this much maturity by the time you're this age. And, you know, it's the season of peace, and yet there's this conflict and violence that's going on. And it really just completely spoiled my experience of that holiday spice flat white that I, you know, had ordered. But so it's all over. This conflict and this division and this hatred and this war. And what about Christ's peace? I mean, is that just a pipe dream? I mean, can it really come about? Is it 2,000 years now, and it doesn't seem like, oftentimes it doesn't seem like it's getting any better. So I was really challenged with that, and I was thinking, you know, well, how do I understand peace? Is it peace that God is just going to intervene into the world and just remove all conflict, all war, all division? Well, evidently not. You know, the kind of peace that Christ brings is a peace that I think is a work in progress or process. So it's moving forward, and it depends also a lot upon our own response. You know, you think about, like, when it comes to peace, everybody's desiring it. You know, you do see that. Yet, what's the first place that we look in order to, you know, that our world or our community or our family might find peace? If only this thing were different. If only they would change. We have the Adam and Eve syndrome of blaming the external, right? That it's someone else's fault. Well, what's the Christian approach? What's God's perspective as far as the way to peace? Well, St. John Paul II wrote a document in 1983 on the 1950th anniversary of the redemption, he said. And in that document on reconciliation and penance, he spoke how the world right now, there's a lot of division, so this is over 30-some years ago, and war and conflict. And so he was trying to address pastorally, well, how do we move forward towards peace and reconciliation, true reconciliation? And so what came out of that document, the central thesis is and theme is that the peace has to begin with each one of us. The division, we are the source of the division. So Where do we begin, he says? Look into the mirror. And he said, there can be no union of peoples unless there is an individual change in each person. There can be no union of individuals. And so God's perspective is something that's counterintuitive, you might say, because the first place that we look is the source of the problem or the conflict is not in the mirror. And so that takes a change of heart, a change of mind, a metanoia, as John the Baptist has been talking about in the past weeks, right? That he's been preaching. But in this document, St. John Paul II says the change of heart and the change of way of thinking, that's not even enough. He says we have to have a change of heart. Our beliefs, our values have to change in regards to, you know, how to bring about reconciliation. But it also has to be a change in our lives. So it's not just of like, okay, I get it. It's now, I need to do it. And that's what's going to bring about the reconciliation that our world is so much in need of. And so really beginning with each one of us and how the church fosters this perspective in everything that she does. What's the first thing that we do when we come to Mass is that we begin the Mass with calling to mind our sins. So recognizing our need for reconciliation, right? That we're sinners. What's the sacrament of the new evangelization, as Pope Francis speaks about? It's the sacrament of confession, because the first break is our break with God. And unless that is reconciled in Christ, then all of our efforts towards peace in our families, societies, in our world are going to end up in vain. That's why God had to send his Son. That's the remedy, the only remedy, the cure. And so for us, you know, the Advent season really is a season of penance. We think about Lent as the penitential season, but Advent is a season of penance. 3 out of the 4 candles are purple, right? Gaudete Sunday was last Joy Sunday. That is also a part of Advent season, but the major focus of Advent is a penitential attitude, which means what? A true change in the way that we see things and the way that we think, and a change in the way that we live. And so we're really going to only have a good Advent season if there's been some change in the way that we see things, the way that we believe, where we look to the source of evil. Are we looking in the mirror? That's the challenge. If we can start from there, then we open ourselves up to allow Christ to come in and bring true reconciliation and healing in our lives, in our families' lives, in our society's lives. And so, as we just have just a few days before celebrating the birth of the Redeemer, we ask the Holy Spirit to give us a healthy, true awareness of our need for a Savior.